time for the Susan Taylor Podcast, where we discuss the yoga of mind, medicine, and healing. Author of Feeling Good Matters, Sexual Radiance, and the Vital Energy Program, Dr. Taylor imparts authentic knowledge and practical tools that inspire, educate, and empower us to be a healing force for positive change. So join us and take your life and our planet to the next level.
Hello and welcome to episode 33. Are you established in being? A key to being fulfilled in this life. When we're resilient, we are established in our being. And what does it mean to you? Well, when you become established in your being, that means to be aware of who you are, you know your life's purpose, and you also have an inner skill set to activate your own positive force. Then you can use this force to take action and turn yourself around when you're going upstream before ending up at the top of a waterfall ready for the crisis. Today I'd like to talk about what can happen when we're not established in being and have to deal with the mind creating fear and self-doubt. And I'd like to offer some practical tips to get you back on track if you tend to be going off track. The most extreme measure of not being established in who we are is the act of taking our own life. And this week I had many requests to talk about suicide and why people take their own life. We're all saddened and awakened at the same time that the fact that there were two great souls this week that took their lives. And again, many of you have written in to discuss the topic, so I decided to post this for this week's podcast. And I want to talk to you a little bit about a yogic perspective on this. All human beings at one time or another have experienced trauma, pain, or loneliness, trying to make sense of what life is all about. We all struggle to figure out how the world works, and some do indeed take the time to observe and understand it. Many people just go on and on, really not taking the time to step back, observe, and understand it. Most people create busy minds. Their minds become so chaotic and busy, and by not stepping back, they get busier and busier, and then confusion sets in. And we never could understand the workings of the world. It just doesn't happen. We tend to just believe things because we see or hear them, and we view the world according to our perceptions. Keep that in mind. Everyone views the world differently, and we view them according to our perceptions. And depending on our perceptions, our mental dialogue could become a friend or an enemy. Suicide is an internal drama that's going on in a person's thought waves. After all, who really wants to die? Nothing wants to die. It means something to those that are involved with contemplating their existence. Who or what, as I said, wants to die? Whenever you try to collect an insect to take it out of your house, it panics because nothing wants to die, and neither do people. The problem that arises with someone contemplating their death is that the dialogue of taking one's life is happening with the I-maker or the ego. This is who I am. And that dialogue is giving false illusion of what needs to take place. It's the storyteller and the one who puts distance between the self and the soul, and that's the ego, the I-maker. This I-maker is constantly representing itself to itself, splitting the personality into a subject and object. And that's the problem. When we talk about inner dialogue and we talk about awareness training or focusing the mind, it's being able to bring that light of awareness on our true self, not the dialogue that's going on with the I-maker. Because this dialogue with the I-maker splits what we call ahamkara into the storyteller, and that's who's telling the story of itself, and it's representing itself to itself. And it's a big liar. It really doesn't make any sense, because that's who says, I'm good, I'm bad, this is nice, this is not nice, this should happen, this shouldn't happen. The core teaching in yoga science revolves around this case of mistaken identity. We misidentify ourselves with the objectification of the ego, and we think that we're a bad, sad, and unfortunate person when we're really not. We lose our ability to see the truth, the reality of who we are. We have identified with the labels that we've created. Our life is a continuum of tragedies and miracles happening together. It happens all the time. And we need to pay attention to what life really is. It is all of that. And the practice of a yogi is to pay attention to our mind and learn to focus our mind, focus our awareness, that is, inward and not the happenings of our self-created perceptions. We must learn to undercut our perceptions by being aware of our likes and dislikes, what's right, what's wrong, and just be the observer. Suicide is an attempt to resolve feelings of being overwhelmed by one's own image of oneself, or part of oneself, that is. Suicide is an attack on one's representation of the body as the object, as if death of the body can help one get rid of this intolerable mental state that's created and these feelings that are just intolerable. It doesn't happen that way. Once you get rid of the body, you're still carrying those impressions of the mental states and feelings. Suicide is a cry for help, not really wanting to die, because as I said before, no one wants to die. The world has lost great souls over the past, and this week, especially two that we heard of, who happened to get caught in the spiral of their clouded perceptions of who they really are. We all feel the great sadness and loss, making the process of taking one's life a burden for all that's involved. You know, when someone takes their life, it becomes a burden for all that's involved. You know, when children are left, family, loved ones, friends, and the world as a whole, it actually affects humanity as a whole. According to the ancient teachings, to take one's life due to not dealing with the obstacles that arise is a great, what they call, sin, if you will. I mean, that's the word that's used for the soul. It's something that's a crime against the soul, and it's not acceptable because having a life is a representation and an extension of divine forces, and it's a privilege to have a body this lifetime. Therefore, one is taught that taking one's life is not an option. This is not the same as someone ending a life who's dealing with end-of-life issues. This is another whole concept. I'm talking about just having mental turmoil and deciding that you can't cope anymore and on the spot decides to take a life. It's a little bit different than someone who has health issues, end-of-life issues, all sorts of issues. Even there have been studies in the yoga in the ancient world of, you know, when you leave your body, you decide to leave. Yogis, ancient yogis, and people who are very well trained can actually leave their body at will at the end of life. But that's a decision that's based on clarity of mind, not sadness, confusion, and delusion of really what's happening. Again, here I'm referring to getting caught up in the sadness and happenings of what we want and don't have in our life, leading us down a road of darkness and despair. So where do we go from here? Let's turn this around. I just wanted to shed a little bit of my opinion and the yogic opinion of, you know, suicide and what's that about, because it was a bit shocking to all of us this week. And I would say, where do we go from here? Well, training people with principles of the yoga science principles, where we can view places where there's no hope, nothing left, and even the desire not to live, as a place for the deepest transformations to occur. Whenever there's no hope or nothing left, and we stick with it and we travel through that road, that dark road, the transformation is the deepest that could possibly happen because it's such an extreme place to be, right? So then the extreme on the other side is a deep transformation. Death does not solve problems in the mind today. Sometimes people, we think that, but it really doesn't happen because you'll start your next life with where you left off. Yoga science relies heavily on awareness practices because if we come to understand who we are and our purpose in life and for being here, then we can live a life of freedom and fulfillment. We're able to step out of our small self and step into a light of our own awareness and help brighten the path for those that may be struggling. If the collective consciousness could be the healing force for positive change, then we can reach out and not convince someone that life is precious, but they will come to their own conclusion on their own. They will step into their own light. May the souls that have departed us during this week rest in peace, and may God bless all of you. Well, this brings us to the end of this episode. If you'd like to be notified weekly for new podcasts, please subscribe. The Susan Taylor Podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Also on susantaylor.org, where you can click on the podcast to subscribe. Contact me at susantaylor.org if you have any questions, comments, or feedback. And I thank those of you that wrote in, and some of you spoke to me about the concerns of this week's tragedies, that I was able to perhaps shed a little bit of light and a collective consciousness of talking about it. And again, I'd like to say thank you for listening. And again, Susan Taylor Podcast does come out weekly. And until next time, remain calm, consciously aware, living in the moment.